You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Thanks for being here with us today. I'm Shelley Delaney. When teachers tap into a student's culture, they have a powerful tool to reach students. In fact, it can lead to better teaching. That's what the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute has learned in its work with educators across Alaska to help them design classes that incorporate Indigenous culture. SHI has another Summer Education Summit in the works, and joining us now to talk about that, David Shakely Early, Education Program Manager, Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. Welcome, David.
Gunas chi, thank you.
Gunas chi, shake, thank you for being here today. Would you please introduce yourself for our listeners?
Sinkek enach yes yedi yuchatuasauk. Yes nachatsati takatin tan ayachat achit hunakawudach ach ish has shangu kedi. And my name is David Shakely Early. My Thinkit name is Yesh Yeti, and I'm from the Duck Dainton clan. My father's people are the Shungu KD, and my clan and family comes from the Huna area. And it's very good to be here. As you said, my name is David Shakely Early. I work with Sea Alaska Heritage as one of the education program managers there. And it's great to be here and talk with you again.
Would you please tell us a bit about culturally responsive education? What is it? What's important about it?
Yeah, great. So culturally responsive education is really, I guess, a term that has been unfolding more and more recently over the past number of years. And it's really rooted at having place-based education, looking at the student as a whole, they're bringing their background and culture into the education, learning about things that are relevant and related to the students, and kind of bringing it into the classroom, having a little more, I guess, just overall respect for the different cultures that are there. And using that as kind of almost, in some ways, as a hook to get into some of the content, to get in some of the other things that the teachers and schools and things like this are you know, kind of needing to get at the core of the educational journey, and really finding those hooks, finding those things and interest to bring those students in, so that they can see themselves within what they're learning, and they more engaged then, and kind of brings them in and says, gosh, I know that this is familiar with me, or this is interesting to me. And it really helps to ground and connect students, you know, within education and all the subjects. And then, so, I mean, you know, if that's kind of the foundation of it, and really kind of it is, it's looking at all students, because there is culture in all students, no matter where you come from. There's some sort of a culture, there's some sort of a background. And so, I mean, you can think of culture as kind of one way is, you know, well, I don't have culture. And I've heard that from other people. I don't really have a culture. I don't have that kind of history is, you know, maybe some groups and some Alaska Native groups and other Native groups. But I mean, really, culture is all around us, and it's what you are grow up with. And so being able to look at and tap into those things to really connect with the students is really the foundation of it. And being in Alaska, being in Southeast Alaska, a lot of our focus that we're looking at within Sea Alaska Heritage is a lot of the cultures of Southeast Alaska, Alaska Native students, things like that. So we're looking at those, but like I said, it really is expansive into many other cultures.
Mm. Well, having heard you say all that, it seems like there might be some challenges with incorporating that into curriculum for educators who have never focused on it before. So you've got this conference coming up. It's August 5th through the 7th. Tell me a little bit about the background or the history of this conference. How did it come to be? Who is it for?
So the background of the conference is really kind of, it started off of kind of a piggybacking off of our cultural at Sea Alaska Heritage, our cultural orientation kind of program that we have. It's a semester-long program. And the primary focus initially was looking at teachers and educators that are either new teachers on their own, that they, maybe they're just starting out, you know, are needing some help in trying to connect culture into their lessons, into the units and things like this, and kind of, you know, bridging that gap. Also for teachers that are new to Alaska, new to Southeast Alaska, that came in from somewhere else, that maybe are a veteran teacher potentially, and they just don't know a lot about the cultures here. And so it's a way to kind of dip their toes into learning about some of the cultures, some of the histories and things like that, so that those teachers can then take that and incorporate that into their lessons, their everyday interactions with students and the schools, administration, you know, principals and things like this. So it's just kind of, you know, gets infused with everything that's happening. And so that is the kind of one of the larger, it's, and that's Through the Cultural Lens is the name of that program. And we've been doing that here in Juneau for about 7 years. And so from that, we kind of took it and added on this cultural education conference. And so this year is going to be the fourth year of the education conference. And it really focuses and takes that to a different level. So, and you know, kind of a shorter amount of time as well, where you're dipping into a lot of those same topics, those same ideas, and bringing people in. I said before, it was kind of focused on like Through the Cultural Lens. We've done it here in Juneau for 7 years, and that's kind of very specifically this location. But then the conference is a way to reach out to other educators in Southeast Alaska, others in Alaska, even others in you know, the lower 48th, and even other countries have come over to this conference to be connected and kind of tie in, so that we can still have that same theme, that same conversation, and that same understanding and just collaboration with other entities, other groups, other teachers, educators, so that we can all kind of come around and talk about what's working and what's helpful. And so it kind of just built up off, you know, from that in a way. And that was kind of the main theme. It was also a way to kind of allow some of our participants that are in this cultural orientation program, that's a 50-hour long program, to highlight and share some of their units and some of their lessons that were successful, and share those out with others, so that they can be an example of like, this is something that's worked in my classroom. I developed this and tried it out, and this is working well. So if you're interested in bringing these things into your classrooms, this is an example that you might look at or you might consider. So it was kind of a showcase, really, in a way to bring some of that content out there. And then in addition to that, you know, it just kind of turned into, well, it's a big full-fledged conference now. And so we have keynote speakers that come in from around the country and other countries, you know, that are experts in the field to share and, you know, just inform and bring everybody together. So that's kind of in a way, I guess, where it's kind of started from.
And I'm not sure if you've been involved with the conference or Through the Cultural Lens, you know, throughout the years, but a lot's happened in just the past 4 years since your first conference, Culturally Responsive Education Conference, and in the last 7 years as well. So has that changed the dynamic, the tone, the focus of these conferences?
It definitely has. I haven't been involved in all the conferences that they've had up to this point, but there is there's an absolute connection to the success of things like the conference and things like the cultural orientation that we have throughout the semester and other programs that are out there that show a link to success for Alaska Native students. And that's really what everything comes down to. I mean, you know, they're out there for the teachers and the educators, and, you know, that's mainly who the primary audience is that we're reaching out to attend these things like that. But it really, it's for the benefit of the Alaska Native students and their success through school, beyond graduating from high school, and since these programs have been implemented, there is definitely a change in the numbers and the success and the continuation post-secondary education and things like that for Alaska Native students. So it has it shows a great a path and a great success story that we're still working on. I mean, there's still lots of things that we're learning and building in, but it definitely is moving in the right direction, and we're pretty excited about it.
That's great. Let's take just a little moment to listen to a clip of a video that you sent me, an interview with Dr. Walter Sobolev. Do you want to tell me a little bit about this clip and why you sent it to me to listen to ahead of this interview?
Yeah, this is a clip that we share often with our orientation trainings that we do with teachers and educators. And my gosh, Walter Sobolev was just an amazing person, amazing man, an educator, a philosopher, so much history. And I mean, just the ways that he puts ideas into explaining them to others is just it's just a very easy to listen to and grasp onto and kind of say, gosh, that's so great. And so anyway, it's a lot of his words and his ideas and his concepts and his visions that we hold at and use within Sea Alaska Heritage. So that's kind of a lot of his voice and his visions are what we're doing today.
I'm going to play that clip now. It's so interesting to hear his words and great to hear his voice. And I'm you guys can't see this on the radio, but I'm watching the video too. Here we go.
Dr. Sobolev, what advice would you give to the kids today?
I would say to the students, if you as a student feel you're not doing well in school, speak to your father and mother, or if they're not at home or if they're not working with you, speak to a friend, and the friend may go with you to the teacher to explain some of your problems. There's always somebody willing to help you. There's always somebody willing to help you and talk to the teacher. And once the teacher understands, the teacher will come to your rescue, and that's the way it should be.
What advice would you give to parents?
I would advise the parents to not forget that the parents are just as responsible for the success of their student, not only in school, but for life's journey. The parents have a responsibility.
If there was one really important thing that you think can change education to make it better, what would it be?
It would be to student, for the teacher. As soon as the teacher notices that the student isn't doing well, to come to the rescue of that student.
All right. Well, that was just a portion of the clip that you shared with me, but it resonated with me because I liked how he kind of broke it down. It's pretty simple. Like, the student has some responsibility, but the parents does and the teacher does. And it reminds me of that saying, it takes a village. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you're exactly right. And that's a lot of what this is focused on, really. It's focused on, the students are what we're trying to have make the change. We're trying to have the success of the students in the schools. But in order to do that, if the student isn't doing well in the class, it's not maybe just their fault. It isn't their fault. It can be lots of other factors. Maybe there's something they can't connect with in the school and the lesson and the unit with the teacher. And these things, like the culturally responsive education conference and the trainings that we do and things like this, try to help connect the teacher with the students and really have that kind of hook, that interest that sparks up and says, this is what's going to keep me here in this class and be engaged with the content and in school. And you know, if you can't, I mean, if you just imagine yourself in a place somewhere that you're trying to go to and you can't, you're doing something and you look around for some familiarity if you're going somewhere. If you can't find something that's familiar to you or that you can connect with, pretty soon you're going to start to look around and say, gosh, this isn't quite what I'm used to. This isn't quite what I'm, you know, it's, you're going to drift potentially, you know, as a person, because you're trying to look for those connections. And if those connections aren't within the schools, if they're not within the classrooms, within the teachers, within the lessons and things like this that are there, then that's part of the big problem, is there's a disconnect in the schools and with the teachers and the lessons, and you know, and that's one spot. I'm not saying that that's the whole case, but there's definitely, you know, a place to start to look at that. So if you could take those things down, if you can make those connections within the schools and the lessons, and if you offer that there, then at least that's one place where the students have an entry point and to maintain interest. So you know, it rings loud with what Dr. Walter Soboloff said. You know, it is the teacher's responsibility to reach out. It is the parent's responsibility to make sure that those opportunities are there. And you can't fault the student, you know, all the time. So it's some great words of wisdom.
Absolutely. Well, I think that, you know, this conference is very much needed, just based, you know, we both went to school, we know what it was like. And I love to see that, you know, that some of this philosophy is being, you know, taken into consideration and faced head on with this conference. So let's talk about the details of the conference. I know one of the things you wanted to talk about today was that you are still recruiting for presenters, but what sort of presentations for the breakout sessions are you hoping to put together?
Yes. Yeah, so right now during the conference, so the conference is August 5th through the 7th. And on the first 2 days of the conference, there's going to be breakout sessions that are going to be available for participants to go to. And they're going to be an hour-long breakout session. And from those, we're looking for individuals that are interested in presenting at those breakout sessions, for those hour-long sessions. So, I mean, things that have been done in the past are different topics like weaving in our world, deconstructing child-teacher nature interactions, Alaska Indigenous Teacher Initiatives. Let's see what else here. How do we learn language? Language revitalization, culturally responsive education from the inside out, components of culturally responsive K-12 systems, things around racism, things around equity. So, I mean, these are some of the different topics that have been in past conferences. So these are similar things that you may encounter or may hear in this upcoming conference. Then also those, you know, if you have something, if you have a background or if you have some of that knowledge to share that you would like to share in this conference, you can sign up and be a presenter. We're taking applications right now for presenters until June 7th. So there's still a little bit of time left, a couple of weeks to figure it out. If you go to sealaskaheritage.org or just type in Sealaska, you know, search and go to it there, there's a link on the main page that is call for presenters. And there's an application process where you can say, you know, this is my topic, this is what I would present, and these sorts of things. And bring a buddy too, if you know, I mean, if you're like, well, shoot, I wish I don't like to do this in front of people, I need kind of a partner, well, then bring a partner. You can have a partner, you know, and kind of have a co-presenter, and you guys can both, you know, tackle it and kind of, you know, pitch back and forth. So, you know, anyway, take a look at that. And if you know of anybody that might be interested in that, that's listening, just pass it on to those. The education conference is also it's going to be virtual again this year. So last year we had a virtual conference due to COVID, and this year we felt that it would be good, since the draw of the conference has been, you know, a 200-300 people in the past. We didn't really want to put that stress on that amount of people this particular year again. So it's going to be another virtual conference. And since we did it last year virtually, we were able to bring in more participants from all over the place that wouldn't have normally been able to participate in the first place with an in-person conference. So last year for a virtual conference, we doubled, and actually a little more than doubled, the amount of people that registered and were interested in the conference. So it really shows that, gosh, I mean, it's there's a lot of people interested in these topics. And, so there's another opportunity this year that you can tune in from Tokyo and go to the conference if you want to, or anywhere else in the world, and still be a part of it.
Sea Alaska Heritage President Rosita Worrell is quoted as saying, "We went virtual last year after the pandemic derailed our in-person event, and it turned out to be a good thing." And she went on to say an evaluator found that despite the inherent challenges in shifting to an online format, participants expressed high satisfaction with the conference. And as you mentioned, attendance doubled. So that's so exciting. And I wanted to ask, who are some of the keynote speakers that you have planned this year?
Yes. So let's see here. The keynote speakers, we have four keynote speakers this year. And sorry, let me pull up my other notes here. So we have the schedule is basically kind of like a day, a morning keynote speaker in the morning, and a keynote speaker in the afternoon. And on the first 2 days, same thing. But we have Tiffany Lee is one of the keynote speakers, Nikki Sanchez, Ethan Pettigrew, and Candice Gala. And those are the four, two per day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon for the first 2 days. And the Saturday is going to be kind of about a half a day or so on Saturday, but it's going to be a panel discussion of all four of them together, and kind of, jumping in with questions and answers and things like that, and kind of talking as a group. So we're going to be listing more of the details of the keynote speakers and more of the information on how to register for the conference as a participant on our website. And we're working out some of those details on the registration part of it with our IT team, and that should be probably available later on this week, that the registration is, we're going to open up. So it's not quite open for registration right now for participants, but that'll be very soon.
Excellent. Well, perhaps we'll talk again a little bit closer to August and hear a little bit more about how some of these details have shaped up. So thanks so much for speaking with me today. David Shakely Early, Yech Yadi, I really appreciate all of this wonderful information and hearing about this conference and what you guys have planned. I hope it's a huge success.
Goodness cheese. Thank you for the time. And it was great talking with you. We'll talk again soon. Goodness cheese.
Sounds good. Goodness cheese, Yech Yadi.